Friday, everybody. It's John the Weir Show. Going to kick off a Friday list here in just a minute. This week, the list is best TV villains. Get your suggestions into the text line right now at 22980. Every 100th text that we get will be Rebecca Crockett's pick for the list. Again, just the biggest scumbags, the biggest jerks, maybe just the most annoying villains. Whoever they are, need to hear them. Text them in right now, 22980 on the text line. If you've never heard us do the list before, this is the way it works. We get 16 of something. This week, it's TV villains. And then we vote on which one is the best. Now, when we say the best, this week, are we going for the worst, Rod?
No, I don't think so. Because it would be like your favorite villain or, you know, the best villain.
Yeah.
Your favorite villain.
Is it your favorite? So is it somebody you like or is it somebody you hate?
Someone you love to hate.
Oh, like somebody who really made their mark.
Right.
Like really grounded in.
Could be.
Really made you angry.
Or someone that you just loved watching, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's going to be tough because the ones that I have that are my favorite villains are ones that I don't want to see them anymore. They make me so angry, just viscerally mad when I see them on the screen. So, all right, this will be very interesting. But I'm going to start off with, let's see, Scott already did JR. I think we might put that on the list later.
It is a good show.
But I'm going to start off with a bit of, I don't know if this is that strange of a pick. I don't know how popular the show is. I know it won all sorts of Emmys, and I know it, as far as the people I'm concerned, or the people I've talked to, my friends, and it was a big show. Remember the first season of Fargo?
Yeah.
You remember Lorne Malvo, played by Billy Bob Thornton?
Yes.
I honestly think that was the scariest human being I've ever seen on the small screen.
He was just brutal.
He was terrifying. And this scene, this is in the pilot. This scene, Colin Hanks, Tom Hanks' son, is a police officer on the show, and he pulls Lorne Malvo over. And this is the exchange that they have.
Evening. License and registration, please.
We could do it that way. You ask me for my papers. I tell you it's not my car, that I borrowed it. See where things go from there. You could do that. Or you could go get in your car and drive away.
Now, why would I do that?
Because some roads you shouldn't go down. Because maps used to say there'd be dragons here. Now they don't. But that don't mean the dragons aren't there.
Dad, come in, Dad. Over.
You step out of the car, please, sir.
How old's your kid?
Oh.
He said step out of the car.
Let me tell you what's going to happen, Officer Grimley. I'm going to roll my window up, and then I'm going to drive away. And you're going to go home to your daughter. And every few years, you're going to look at her face and know that you're alive because you chose not to go down a certain road on a certain night. That you chose to walk into the light instead of into the darkness.
Yeah, there you go. Lorne Malvo from Fargo, the first season. Most terrifying
Which was
human being.
Great season of Fargo. It was a great. It was really good. But yeah, he like when his kids calling, you know, Dad, pick up, and you know, how old's your daughter?
Yeah. And then just that speech. And I mean, the Coen brothers aren't involved in the TV show version of Fargo, but that guy is a quintessential Coen brothers type of villain. Just a guy who's just a force of nature. You know, he just can't be stopped. If you watch Coen Brothers movies, you know sometimes the bad guy in the movie is just this terrifying human being that cannot be stopped no matter what. And there's no reasoning with them either. If you live after seeing them, it's because they let you. That's Lorne Malvo on the first season of Fargo by Billy Bob Thornton. He won an Emmy for that, and I think he deserved every ounce of that Emmy. All right, Rod Babcock, best TV villain.
Yes, sir.
My associates, Batman. Reading from right to left. Cordy Bleu, my chef.
Hey, I know that bird. He used to be chief hash-slinger at the state pen.
Matey D, my head waiter.
Astonishing. That fella did a term up the river as Warden Crichton's personal valet.
And last but not least, Chickadee, my hat chick and cigarette girl.
Not to mention the notorious female bootlegger of untaxed cigars.
An unsavory crew.
Well, they're all out on perfectly legal parole. You want to see their papers, Batman?
No, thank you, Penguin.
The Penguin.
The Penguin.
Man. The original Penguin.
The writing on that show was just so atrociously good. It was so bad that it was good again, because just all the puns and everything. Oh, yeah. My hat chick girl. Oh my God, really? And at the same time, I'm like, good for you. Good for you. That was a terrible line. Burgess Meredith delivered it with the conviction that it didn't deserve. And now all of a sudden it's a good line.
Burgess was great. And then Adam West was awesome anyways. Just the whole, you know, very interesting.
Yeah.
The way he would think it out loud and all the stuff, it just cracks me up. But yeah, I love the Penguin, man.
Yeah.
Penguin. All the purple and the monocle and the whole thing.
All right. I don't think that's going to be the only Batman villain that gets on the list tonight.
Well,
there might be another one.
It's the only good one.
All right. Rebecca Crockett. Playing for the text line.
Okay, but the first pick tonight is going to be all mine. Okay. And then I'll pull from the text line.
Oh, they don't matter.
This is my favorite villain, mm-hmm. and I don't hate him at all. I love this villain so much.
You see, it occurred to me that what I should really be doing is fighting fire with fire.
Good one.
And by fire, I mean Perry the Platypus. And by fire, I also mean Perry
Dr.
the Platypus.
Dr. Doofenshmirtz.
It occurred to me while I was on fire. Well, I'm out of here.
I believe it's Professor Doofenshmirtz.
What just happened?
I hope I'm sorry. Professor Doofenshmirtz.
Well, I know. Oh, no, Perry the Platypus. She can't see you. She doesn't know I have a nemesis. Oh, and I don't have time to destroy you.
I love that show. And Henry has outgrown it. And I just can't wait for Finn to get back into it.
How do you outgrow this?
I don't know. He used to watch it constantly. It's Phineas and Ferb, by the way, if you don't know what we're talking about. He used to watch it constantly, and then at a certain point, like a couple years ago, it was like, it's just the same thing over and over again. And I was like, I know, but that's what's great about it. It's the same bit over and over again, but they have like this really creative element within that bit, and he just doesn't get that. He's like, it's boring. It's the same thing all the time.
I beg to differ. There are many innators, and none of them are alike.
The plot is exactly the same in every episode, but the elements of that plot are totally different, which is what I love about that show. Phineas and Ferb, Professor Doofenshmirtz from Doofenshmirtz Evil Incorporated gets put on the list. And just that voice in and of itself, like, I don't know if that's... It sounds like Jerry Lewis, if somebody kicked him in the throat. Is that what they're going for? Jerry Lewis with throat cancer,
that's
maybe?
That's accurate.
Yeah, I think so. Seemed like that's what they're going for. All right, next is my turn. I'm at number 4 for best TV villain of all time. Oh, let me see. You know what? I'm going to use this one. This was suggested by Josh the Weirdo on Facebook. And in the not too distant good one. Next Sunday, A.D. I decided to play the theme song that explains why these guys are evil instead of just audio or dialogue. All right. The Mads, Dr. Forster and TV's Frank, which are the classic ones. I don't care that there were a lot of other ones. Those ones are not as good as Dr. Forster and TV's Frank from Mystery Science Theater 3000. And if you don't know that show, you really should. If you have 2 hours this weekend, sit down and watch either MST3K Mitchell, MST3K Manos, The Hands of Fate, or any of the Gamera movies. Even if you don't like sci-fi or whatever, it doesn't matter. You're going to laugh yourself stupid watching that show. I love that show. So that's number four on the list.
I introduced Roman to it.
Yeah?
And yeah, he loves it.
You know what's funny?
I made him watch the Mac and Me one. And the whole time he kept going, this is not a real movie. I'm like, yes, it is.
It is. And right. It's almost unfair that they were making fun of Mac and Me. That
yeah,
the movie does a good job making fun of itself. But I can actually trace my relationship with my father to that point. Things were fine. Like, we got along okay. And then I started watching MST3K. And from that show started developing kind of a sarcastic sense of humor. And it was at that point that he couldn't stand me anymore. Because I learned how to, you know, make fun of stuff from that show. I couldn't stand it. You don't take anything seriously. I was like, I know, it's great. I'm free. All right, let's...
The Jonathan Weir Show.
Quick break. Then we'll be back with more of our Friday list. Best TV villain. So far, we have Lorne Malvo from Fargo, the Penguin from Batman, Professor Doofenshmirtz from Phineas and Ferb, and the Mads from MST3K. Obviously, there's a lot of ones that we haven't gotten to yet. What are they? Text them in on the text line right now at 22980, and we'll get to them coming up in just 5 minutes here on 98.1 KMBZ.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
That's right, it is. Continuing our Friday list, we are at number four of best TV villains of all time. So far, we have Lorne Malvo from Fargo, the Penguin from Batman, the original series with Adam West, Professor Doofenshmirtz, and the Mads from MST3K. Rod, we're at pick number five, and that is all yours, my friend.
Okay.
Captain Jean-Luc Picard, you lead the strongest ship of the Federation fleet. You speak for your people.
I have nothing to say to you. And I will resist you with my last ounce of strength.
Strength is irrelevant. Resistance is futile.
The Borg.
We wish to improve ourselves. We will add your biological and technological distinctiveness to our own.
Now, the Klingons are, you know, jerky.
Yeah, the Klingons are just kind of like the humans, England. Like, they're... Or maybe Germany is a better example.
Yeah,
they're very regimented and cold and calculating and everything. And they have their crazy war rules and everything. But the Borg are terrifying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because everything becomes the Borg.
Yeah. Well, you would be particularly terrified of them because they're cyborgs.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. You hate robots and computers.
I don't like that. Plus, like I said, they just, you know, Assimilate.
Yeah, the hive mind aspect is terrifying.
I want to say inseminate.
Well, it maybe do a little bit of that too. Right.
But yes, that is my next pick, the Borg.
Unfortunately, I'm not that well versed in Star Trek stuff from the Next Generation. What was Seven of Nine? Was she a Borg?
Been a Borg, okay. But then like they rescued her.
Ah,
and then
because she was hot, so we need to
really
save that
attractive.
One. Yeah, Jeremy Ryan. Yeah.
You know what's funny is I watched Star Trek here and there, but I never got that into it. Loved The Next Generation.
Really?
Yeah, I was hooked on that.
You know, it's funny. I think that the original Star Trek is almost like the Adam West Batman.
Oh,
and The
very
Next
much
Generation
so, yeah.
is like the Tim Burton Batman movies. You
I
know?
Can see that.
Where they're like
I
more serious. Or maybe the Christopher Nolan Batman movies were a little more serious. And still, you know, there's some fun aspects to it. But for the most part, there's some terrifying stuff going on. All right, so the Borg from Star Trek goes on there for best TV villain. Rebecca Crockett.
Okay, first we need to clear up something.
Okay.
I was correct. It is Dr. Doofenshmirtz.
Is it
not
really?
Professor.
If you
doctor.
Say so, lady,
I looked
fine.
It up and the text line is going crazy. It is Doctor.
You know, I only did that because I love it when the text line goes crazy.
Yep. All right.
You're right. It's Doctor. I'm an idiot. Okay.
I am right. I really love
Dr. Heinz Doofenshmirtz. Well, it's so rare that I'm wrong that I think we can all just remember where you were. That's all I'm saying. I gave you this moment, everybody, of me being wrong for once.
Right.
Once this,
I will
this,
have you know that
hour?
According to the Sinclair Institute of being right all the time, I'm right 99.825% of the time.
All right, here's the pick from the text line.
Hello, Jerry. May I come in?
Love it.
What do you want?
Nothing. You're shipping us a rickshaw. I can't miss.
Yes, it can. We'll start out with one, and then when it catches on, we're going to have a whole fleet.
It's the romance of the hansom cab without the guilt or dander of the equine.
Something happened that changed us in a very deep and profound way from that day forward.
What was it?
He spit on us. And I screamed out, I'm it!
Newman.
Newman.
From Seinfeld. Let me play my favorite Newman scene. He asked Jerry for like a ticket to France or something like that, and then he just goes,
forget it, pull yourself together. You're making me sick. Be a man.
All right. But hear me and hear me well. The day will come. Oh, yes. Mark my words, Seinfeld. Your day of reckoning is coming when an evil wind will blow through your little play world and wipe that smug smile off your face. And I'll be there in all my glory, watching as it all comes crumbling down.
Good Lord. Wayne Knight is an underappreciated actor. Like, that was Shakespearean, the way he delivered that. That was just chilling and also funny at the same time.
Oh, it's great.
Love that. That was also suggested on the Jonathan Weir Show Facebook page by several people, by Brian and I think Dan Weinbaum suggested it as well. So Newman from Seinfeld goes on the list at number 7.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
All right. Doing our list of best TV villains. We're at number 8. Just plowing our way through this. What needs to be on this list? Text it in right now on the text line at 22980. I want to hear from you. What have we not gotten to? Who are we missing from the list? I will tell you that my next one is totally coming out of left field. I think most people who watch the show will agree with me that this person was definitely a huge villain, but at the same time, not the villain you think of when you think of The Sopranos. That's coming up in just 5 minutes here on 98.1.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
One Saturday, I took a walk to Zipperhead. I met a girl there, and she almost knocked me dead.
Punk rock girl,
please look at
punk
me.
Punk rock girl.
What do you see? Let's travel around the world, just you and me, punk rock girl.
Ed Milkman.
I tapped her on the shoulder and said, do you all right. have a bell?
We're continuing our list of the best TV villains of all time. We're at number 8 when we get 16 a vote on which one is the best.
I think we should run down what we have so far.
So far we have Lorne Malvo, played by Billy Bob Thornton in the Fargo season 1, which as far as I'm concerned, is the best one on here. That's just me. The Penguin from the original Batman, Dr. Doofenshmirtz from Phineas and Ferb. The Mads from MST3K. The Borg from The Next Generation. Newman from Seinfeld. Oh, and I'm sorry, I had Newman on there twice. So actually, we're only at number 7.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Number 7. So, this is my pick for number 7. Again, I said this is somebody who was a villain on the show, but at the same time, probably not a villain that you think of when you think of The Sopranos. His mom, Livia Soprano.
I suppose he would have found it harder to have his meetings at my house.
This is a scene where she is in a nursing home and she's mad at Tony, the main character, for putting her in the nursing home. So she tries to have him killed by convincing his uncle that Tony's going against him.
Then in this nursing home.
What are you talking about, meetings?
Don't think I'll ever see any of that money either.
What meetings?
Raymond, Larry, that sneak from Manhattan.
Johnny Sack? Johnny Sack was here?
With his mohair suits and his shoe lifts.
Suits? Pleurisy? More than once he was here? Why didn't I know about this?
Well, maybe it was you they were talking about. Who knows?
Three of my capos have their mothers in this place?
Instead of living in normal homes with their sons, like human beings?
This must be some kind of f***ing end move. What do they think, I'm stupid? Yeah. We'll see.
Now, wait a minute. I don't like that kind of talk. Now, just stop it. It upsets me. Or I won't tell you anything anymore.
If this is true, Livia, you know what I mean.
Yeah. By the way, when she's saying, I don't like that kind of talk, she's nodding at him. Because she does like that kind of talk. She tried to get her son murdered for putting her in a nursing home, which there's got to be a lot of poetic. But it was a nice nursing home. It wasn't like, you know, rust and die
it's
nursing.
It's still a nursing home. She should be living at home with her son.
Right.
Except like for a normal human being.
He had to put her in there because she ran over a woman with her car.
Oh, she was awful.
She was horrible.
Like, just terrifying.
Olivia Soprano goes on the list at number 7. All right, Rob, what do you got?
Well, I feel like maybe we should just get this out of the way.
All righty.
Look at him. Well?
How long do I have to look?
As long as it pleases me.
That's Joffrey Baratheon.
Joffrey!
It's from Game of Thrones, forcing a young girl to look at the severed head of her father. It's up on a pike.
On a pike, yep. On the wall.
Look at him till it pleases me. Yeah, there's another character on that show that I am definitely going to have on this list. And I've been going over it back and forth all day, which one of them I think is
What's
more despicable.
What's funny is there's tons of arguments over just that on the internet.
Right. Yeah. Which one is worse? I don't know. I will tell you, Joffrey sticks with you longer. And I think it's only because he's more annoying and evil than he is just cold and calculating and evil.
No, because he's this young, snot-nosed,
right. He's in this entitled
kid.
Little monster.
Yeah, that's that.
Whereas the other one kind of earned it.
Yeah, he's terrifying because, yeah, he can actually back it up.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Joffrey goes on the list at number 8. Again, another one from Game of Thrones will be coming up later. Rebecca Crockett, what do you got for number 9?
All right. Number 100 from the text line.
Give me the secret formula or I'll destroy the Krusty Krab.
You and what army, Bug?
What army? What army? Look around you, crabs.
You planted grass?
Grass?
Plankton.
Plankton.
I love plankton. I love
because
he's little, but he's loud. And he's just so, I mean, it's a cartoon, but cartoonishly evil. I have a little plankton stuffed animal in my office that I look to inspiration every once in a while.
That's where that comes from.
On a rough day, I just look at him and I'm like, what would you do, plankton? Burn the whole place to the ground.
You got that crazy look in your eye again.
Every once in a while. So plankton, does plankton have a last name?
I don't think so.
No, it's just plankton.
Yeah. Plankton is also one of those bad guys who's also really vulnerable, too. And you watch enough of the episodes of SpongeBob with him on there, and you're like, actually, this guy makes some good points.
I feel bad for Karen.
Yeah, his computer wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's always trying to help him.
Yeah. Always.
And he never appreciates it.
No, he does not. He does not. All right, that goes on the list at number 9, Plankton from SpongeBob SquarePants. All right, all right, you said let's get this one out of the way. I think we need to get this one out of the way, too.
Are you sure you want to go through with this, sir? You do have a very full wardrobe as it is.
Yes, but not completely full. For you see, some men hunt for sport, others hunt for food. The only thing I'm hunting for is an outfit. That looks good.
He's talking about skinning puppies.
Sometimes puppies gotta be skinned, man.
No, no, that is a monster, not a villain.
Vest, see my vest, made from real gorilla chest. Feel this sweater, there's no better than authentic Irish setter. See this bat, t'was my cat, my evening wear, vampire bat. These white slippers are albino, African endangered rhino, grizzly bear underwear, turtle's necks, I've got my share. Beret of poodle on my noodle,
it shall rear. It's just a severed dog's head that he's wearing on top of his head. It's so disturbing. Mr. Burns from The Simpsons. Actually, I'm going to play another scene. This isn't a scene that makes him evil, but it is one of the funniest scenes on The Simpsons.
On my tests, you may shake my hand if you like.
Well, under the circumstances, I'd rather not.
Eh?
Mr. Burns, I'm afraid you are the sickest man in the United States. You have everything.
You mean I have pneumonia?
Yes.
Juvenile diabetes?
Yes.
Hysterical pregnancy?
A little bit, yes. You also have several diseases that have just been discovered in you.
I see. You sure you just haven't made thousands of mistakes?
No, I'm afraid not.
Well, this sounds like bad news.
Well, you'd think so, but all of your diseases are in perfect balance. If you have a moment, I can explain.
Well,
here's the door to your body, you see? And these are oversized novelty germs. That's influenza, that's bronchitis, and this cute little cuddle bug is pancreatic cancer. Here's what happens when they all try to get through the door at once. Move it, shout ahead. We call it Three Stooges syndrome.
So what you're saying is, I'm indestructible.
Oh, no. Even the slightest breeze could have...
Indestructible.
Mr. Burns on The Simpsons. I mean, he stole the sun in an episode. Gave everybody rickets. That's number 10 on our list of best TV villains of all time. Rob Babcock, what is number 11?
This is one from my childhood that I just always thought was funny.
Well, where is he? You said he would come back this way.
My deductions place the chances at 90 to 1 in our favor. The odds are very good.
Obviously, you've miscalculated again.
There is always a margin of error, even in a machine. Only Dr. Zachary Smith is perfect.
I am indeed, and don't you forget about it. Are you sure you're not laughing at me?
Reporting. Alien boy approaching. Alien boy.
Dr. Smith.
Dr. Smith.
From Lost in Space.
The original Lost in Space.
I've never seen the original Lost in Space. He was a bad guy on Lost in Space?
Yeah, he was always trying to sabotage everything, right. and he was evil, and he was a little light in the loafers.
So that makes him bad?
No. It was just
weren't
weird.
Wouldn't they be all light in the loafers, considering they're out in space?
No. You're saying.
No, it was just weird.
It's a gravity issue.
When I was a kid, it was just weird.
Well, what was weird was he was always trying to get the boy alone somewhere.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's number 11 on the list. Dr. Smith. Not Professor Smith. It's Dr. Smith. For best TV villains of all time. That's on there. The next one is Rebecca Crockett's pick, and that is coming from the text line. Again, 22980. Every 100th text that we get is Rebecca's pick. So text them in. Keep texting. 22980. That is coming up in 5 minutes here on 98.1.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
What's that?
All I want is more.
That's right. Very young Brett Kavanaugh. Right? No? Sorry. All right, we're doing a Friday list. This week, the list is best TV villains of all time, and we're at number 11 on our list. It is Rebecca Crockett's pick from the text line. Again, every 100th text that we get on the text line is her pick. So, Rebecca, what is it?
Well, this is a villain from one of my favorite shows, okay. The Office.
Ah, I love it.
We're going to figure this out. Rest assured, Jim, can you come in with us, please?
Oh, Jim, hold on.
You know, David, Dwight's been my guy. Okay, yeah, Jim.
Really, I find that extraordinarily surprising.
Oh, he shows promise. And Jim, I know, he's been a disappointment.
We'll bring them both.
Okay, great.
Charles Minor.
Also, Jim.
Come along, afterthought.
Yeah. Charles tried to take over the office.
Kicked Michael out. And was mean to Jim.
That is the unforgivable thing. Besides Dwight.
This scene, there's a lot of cringy type of stuff on The Office. I mean, some of the point of it is to make you uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. This scene between Jim and Charles Minor, where he's asking him for the rundown, just unsettles me.
Are you a rundown of your clients? Can you get that to me?
Sure.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
What the hell is a rundown?
You started on that rundown yet?
Oh, this is just something I'm taking a break with.
Oh.
We'll get back to the rundown right now.
Okay,
great. Hey, you know what? Do you have a rundown that I could take a look at just so I know what type of rundown you're looking for?
Just keep it simple.
Keeping it simple, that's what we're doing.
Because I think we've all been there with a boss who tells you that they want something from you but doesn't tell you exactly what they want.
And you're afraid just like, to ask?
I will get that right away. Because you don't want to look like an idiot by asking. But at the same time, you have no idea what they actually want. Well, I need to look.
So as you both know, yeah. I see The Office a lot, but I never hear it.
Sure.
According to the internet, Jim's the bad guy on that show.
Jim is not the
there's
bad guy.
There's a dumb theory that Jim is actually a bad guy. But that's you know what
dumb
that's from?
Theory.
That's from people watching the show 15 times in a row and getting bored and
He's
having to
awful
invent.
To Karen.
And have to invent fan theories to make the show more interesting for them.
You know, obsessed with Dwight.
Mm-hmm.
He's not obsessed with Dwight.
Steals Pam
he likes
from
Prince.
Another man.
Yeah, but Pam was miserable in her relationship.
Yeah,
that doesn't make him
fit.
Bad.
It doesn't make it his place.
It turns out good
why not?
For Roy
break
later.
Up their relationship.
Yeah, it totally is. If somebody is with somebody that it makes them miserable, I think it's totally fine for somebody else to be like, hey, you shouldn't be with that guy. You should be with me.
And Pam liked him,
yeah.
too.
Then
so.
He convinced Pam to leave her dream behind and drop out of art school.
Oh, no. He encouraged her to keep going. She's the one who chose to drop out of art school.
He did not convince her to drop out.
He supported her in art school.
Yeah, despite the fact that he was in Scranton and she was in New York. No, this is wrong and I will not accept it. All right. That is number number 12 on the list.
What was the guy's name?
Charles Minor.
Charles from The Office.
Yeah, it played by Idris Elba.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can tell. He really stands out because I think he's, other than Stanley, the only black guy on The Office. For extended periods of time. All right, moving on. The next one is my pick, and I said that there'd be somebody else from the show on the list for best TV villain, and here he is. We already had Joffrey Baratheon from Game of Thrones. Here is Ramsay Bolton. And just to set this up a little bit, this guy is a monster. He took over a castle that did not belong to him, and he also flays people alive. That's his big thing. He enjoys doing that a lot. They don't show him doing that on the show. I mean, it's HBO, but it's not that bad. But he's about to meet in combat with Jon Snow and his wife, Sansa, has gotten away from him, and she's over there too.
She's a fine woman, your sister. I look forward to having her back in my bed. And you're all fine-looking men. My dogs are desperate to meet you. I haven't fed them for 7 days. They're ravenous. I wonder which parts they'll try first. Your eyes? Your balls? We'll find out soon enough.
Hey, leave my tennis balls out of this. I brought these
in
for
the
me.
Morning.
These are ping pongs. Thank you.
Bastard.
Ramsay Bolton.
In that show, when you're watching the season where he is, creating reek.
Yes. Oh God. It's
by
terrifying.
The end of that, I felt traumatized. I felt like I had been tortured.
I could watch anything on that show. I had to fast forward through those scenes with him. And Theon, where he's cutting off pieces of him. It's so horrifying. And the actor is so good. It's almost like he was too good because he's hated now, and everybody hates him, hates his guts. Anytime he goes out on the street, we're like, screw you, Ramsay!
Yeah, Joffrey's the same way.
Yeah.
Which I do think speaks to how good an actor he is.
Well,
Because if I saw him in public, I'd probably poop in my hand and throw it at him.
The good thing about Joffrey, though, is he's a kid, so eventually he'll look different. The problem with the guy who plays Ramsay is...
That's him.
That's him for the rest of his life. All right, Ramsay Bolton goes on the list. Ugh.
Oh, the text line says, now I am the villain for speaking ill of Jim.
All right. We'll do more of our Friday list of best TV villain coming up in 5 minutes here on 98.1. Our Friday list this week, the list is best TV villain. TV villain. Do you want me to read off what we have so far?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. We have 13 so far. We have Lorne Malvo, Billy Bob Thornton from Fargo. We have the Penguin from the original Batman series. We have, I need to change this because I'm tired of getting it wrong. We have Dr. Doofenshmirtz. From Phineas and Ferb. We have the Mads from MST3K, Professor Forrester and TV's Frank. Or is it Dr. Forrester? Damn it. The Borg from Star Trek TNG. Newman from Seinfeld. Livia Soprano from... What was the name of that show again? Livia Soprano was on...
The
gangster
the
dudes. The gangster New Jersey
the
dudes.
Baritones,
that's what it is. Joffrey Baratheon from Game of Thrones. Plankton from SpongeBob. Mr. Burns from The Simpsons, Dr. Smith from Lost in Space, Charles Minor from The Office, and Ramsay Bolton from Game of Thrones. Two of them from Game of Thrones on here. Rod Babcock, you have pick number 14. What be it?
All right. I've thought a lot about this, and I feel like this one has to be on the list. And he's one of my favorites.
Where are you going, Brain?
Back to the cage to plan for tomorrow night.
Why? What are we going to do tomorrow night?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world. Try to take over the...
All right. Pinky and the Brains.
No, just the brain.
I know what I was saying.
Oh, I see.
The show. The Brain.
The Brain.
Is he a villain?
He's trying to take over the world.
Yeah, but he's a super genius mouse.
Every night.
Who's to say he's not going to be a benevolent dictator? That could happen.
You know he's not. He's evil.
I was always rooting for him. I think when I was a kid and I watched the show, I was like, you know what? Based on the way the world's going, maybe a mouse-run world isn't the worst scenario.
Well, there's something to that.
Yeah.
I guess the Brain couldn't screw it up.
How could it get worse?
Yeah.
What could he do that would be worse, really?
Well, no, I feel the Brain, I feel like he has to be on there.
Oh, definitely, yeah, sure.
He's nice and evil.
Yeah.
He has a very distinct plan,
mm-hmm.
and he's sticking to it no matter what.
Well, he has a different plan every single night.
Well, but the end game is the same.
Never mind. He is, he doesn't give up. I was going to say indefatigable, but I'm not going to do that. He doesn't give up.
Correct.
I love that about him. No matter how many times he's knocked down, he gets right back up again. Never going to keep him down.
No. I'm going to go back to the cage, and I'm going to plan for tomorrow night.
You know, I was reading a study over the weekend, last weekend. I didn't feel like talking about it on the show because it's not worth the whole segment, but I'll bring it up now. Apparently, experimenting on lab mice is the dumbest thing that we do. It is often wrong. It doesn't translate well into human studies. There's no good reason to do it. The only reason that we are allowed to do it and the reason that we have lab mice and experiment on them is because they're not protected by anything. Like,
well,
nobody cares.
They reproduce very quickly.
We can't do it on chimps and we can't even do it on rabbits anymore. So we have to go to lab mice, which is killing humans.
If you've read The Hitchhiker's Guide, you know that you've got that backwards, right?
Right, of course, of course.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Don't you think that maybe there's a secret island somewhere of just Pinky and Brain, genetically superior lab mice, just waiting for their moment?
Oh, yeah.
Like that one with the ear on its back?
Yeah,
like
he hears everything.
All right, Rebecca Crockett, you have pick number 15. Again, every 100th text that we get on the text line is Rebecca's pick. So what is
it? This one actually came up quite a lot, okay. And it's also from a show I've never seen before.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, well.
You seem mighty happy with yourself tonight, JR.
Aha!
You managed to evict some widows today?
You keep drinking like that, you're going to be evicted onto a trash heap, dear.
I'm amazed you're not a better loser. After all the experience you've had,
I just want you to know, JR, gonna nail you. Now, haven't you noticed? You gotta be a man to play in my league.
Pamela, how's your daddy?
Well, he's really very sick. Thank you, Lucy.
You mean drunk? A lot of that going around.
J.R. Ewing.
J.R. has very close-set eyes.
Dallas.
He was awful.
Yeah. But also, come on, let's be honest. He had some good lines.
Oh, he was a great villain.
You mean drunk?
He was a great villain, and yeah, but he was just awful. And it's so unfortunate, too, because when he was in the Air Force, he was like the nicest guy.
Yeah, when he had that genie, but then he doesn't have the genie anymore. I guess he got everything he needed where, you know, he's this
billionaire. He's like, I want to be a billionaire oil guy.
And she made him that, and since she was like, I can't stand you anymore, master.
Like, he's like, get out.
Yeah.
I don't need you.
Hold on. In real life, Larry Hagman was like a horrifying person.
Oh, was he really?
He was like just a monster. When he was on I Dream of Jeannie, Barbara Eden stopped him from getting fired all the time. He used to, if he had a line or a reading or whatever that he didn't like and he was mad about it, he would literally go around the set of I Dream of Jeannie. He would throw up like on the set over and over again, just shoving his finger. I'm not kidding. Shoving his fingers down his throat.
Really?
Just scromiting all over the set of I Dream of Jeannie. And they were like, we need to fire him. This is insane. And Barbara Eden is like, yeah, but I don't think the show's going to work if you just bring in somebody else.
Wow.
Yeah. So she stopped him from getting fired many, many times.
I had no idea.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's nice that enough time has passed now since his death that we can now speak ill of the man.
Right.
Horrible person.
Well, I totally feel different about
I think he was actually worse than JR ever was. There's no episode of Dallas where he looks at Patrick Duffy and goes, I don't like your talk.
Here, have a seat. Sit in that.
All right. The last pick.
Just sit in it.
Number 16. It's down to me. And man, my wife is going to be upset because she had a really good suggestion for the list, the Trinity Killer, John Lithgow on Dexter. But I was looking and looking and I couldn't find like a good representation of the Trinity Killer. I couldn't
Lithgow
find a good clip.
Lithgow is so good.
Why is it that Lithgow is either the most lovable human being or the most evil human being? Like he can only play one or the other.
Yeah.
He never plays like a middle guy. He always just plays somebody you either love or somebody that you're like, that guy is going to be in my dreams tonight.
Third Rock.
Murdering me over and over again.
What was the one where he was Citizen Kane?
No, not Citizen. Raising Kane.
Raising
Kane. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
He was terrifying. The movie's kind of silly, but he was terrifying.
Oh, yeah. So I'm not going to go with the Trinity Killer. I'm going to go with Gus Fring from Breaking Bad.
If you try to interfere, this becomes a much simpler matter. I will kill your wife. I will kill your son. I will kill your infant daughter.
Just like a super genius, evil type of guy. And you always kind of thought, well, he's not really that bad until he slit that one dude's throat in front of them just to prove, like, you know what? I can kill this guy. He works for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill him because I can't kill you yet. But I'm going to kill this guy right now because I got to kill somebody.
No, he was... One thing I loved about that show is every time you got to where you're like, oh, this character is the worst, and they would show you their backstory.
Mm-hmm.
And you would go, okay, I kind of sympathize.
Yeah.
But by the end of it, you're like, you know what?
Killed.
I hope you die, and your chicken is awful.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing is they were trying to, that whole show, when it was on, they were like, oh, yeah, Walter White's a really bad guy. I never once rooted against Walter White. I was always on his side. There were some things he did that were kind of douchey, but I never thought he was evil. Like, George R.R. Martin wrote to, I can't remember, Vince Gilligan, who's the creator of Breaking Bad, and was like, hey, congratulations, you wrote the most evil character in fiction or ever, and I can't compete with. Are
and
you
he
kidding
meant Walter
me?
White.
Yeah, and he meant Walter White. Are you kidding me? He's not nearly as bad as Joffrey or Ramsay. All right, let's vote. Wrong one. There we go. Vote on the worst TV villain of all time, because that is 16. Man, I don't know.
Well, now when we vote, mm-hmm. we're not voting for, you know, who's the worst villain. We're just voting for the one we...
Who's our favorite worst villain?
Because, yeah, like, you know, the Mads...
Yeah,
aren't
they're not the most evil. We're not voting on who's the most evil. We're just saying which one fits the show best and which one is just a great character.
Right.
Okay. Charles Minor from The Office versus Dr. Doofenshmirtz.
Sorry. How did you pair those two?
I put it in alphabetical order.
Dr. Doofenshmirtz.
Doofenshmirtz moves on. Dr. Smith from Lost in Space.
Lost in Space.
Versus Gus Fring from Breaking Bad. Rod's two picks.
Gus.
I'm going to go with Gus as well. Joffrey Baratheon versus Plankton.
Plankton.
Joffrey.
I love Plankton, but I got to go with Joffrey. J.R. Ewing versus Livia Soprano.
I'm going to go J.R.
Yeah, I'm going to say J.R. because I think he... He was on it on the whole show, as far as I know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And he's a classic one.
Well, and I mean,
and Livia half is the great, 80s, but she's dead in like
half
the
80s
season.
Was who shot JR.
That's right. Yeah. All right, Lorne Malvo from Fargo versus the Borg from Next Generation. I got to go with Lorne.
I'm gonna go with the Borg.
Rod Babcock.
That's tough. You know, I fear the robots. But yeah, I'm gonna go with you. I'm gonna go with Lauren because that character was so creepy. Just so creepy.
Mr. Burns from The Simpsons versus the Brain from Pinky and the Brain.
Mr. Burns.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Mr. Burns as well.
All
right. Newman versus the Mads from MST3K.
Newman
moves on. Ramsay Bolton versus the Penguin. Which
Ramsay Bolton.
I would love. Game of Thrones and there's no bigger disparity on this list than Game of Thrones and 1960s Batman. I would love to see the two of them fighting each other.
Wouldn't you love it? Yeah, if Ramsay Bolton was the Penguin from the Batman.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to cut your finger off.
Ramsay Bolton moves on. Dr. Doofenshmirtz versus Gus Fring for best TV villain.
Dr. Doofenshmirtz.
I got to go with Gus Fring. Rod.
You can
go with Doof if you want.
No, Gus is actually a better villain.
Joffrey versus J.R. Ewing.
I'm going to say J.R.
Really? I'm going Joffrey.
I'm going J.R.
Fine. Lorne Malvo versus Mr. Sorry, let me do that. Lorne Malvo versus Newman.
I'm going to say Malvo, but I was never a big Seinfeld guy.
I know. I'm going to go with Newman, and the only reason I'm going with Newman is because as great as Fargo is, that he was only on for one season. Newman was there from, like, season three on, and, I mean, it was huge. Rebecca?
I'm going to go with Newman.
Newman moves on. Mr. Burns versus Ramsay Bolton.
Oh, Mr. Burns.
I'm going to go with Ramsay Bolton.
I'm going to go with Ramsay Bolton as well. Against my best interest, he's just... Mr. Burns has some sympathy to him. Gus Fring versus J.R. Ewing for best TV villain of all time. This is the final four.
Oh, yeah. We're down to the... Okay.
I'm going to go Gus.
I'm going to go J.R.
You know what? I'm going to go J.R.
J.R., wow. I think that's an upset. Newman versus Ramsay Bolton. Again, all of I'm going to go with Ramsay just because all of these other people going against Ramsay Bolton just seem ridiculous because he is so evil.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Ramsay.
Ramsay moves on to the final, where it comes down to J.R. Ewing from Dallas versus Ramsay Bolton from Game of Thrones. I love this. Yeah, classic versus newer. Yeah.
And also, I feel like.
If J.R. Ewing was alive in the Game of Thrones universe, he would have been like Ramsay.
He would have been Ramsay Bolton. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to say J.R. just for the pop culture impact that... And he was just so consistently, through that whole series, the same jerk.
All right. I'm going to go with Ramsay. It's up to you, Rebecca.
Oh, my gosh.
You want to just let the text line decide?
I don't think... I don't think
Rebecca's seen either of these shows.
I don't think you've seen either one of these, have you?
So, I know who they are.
This is the way we'll do it. Text line 22980. We'll take the fifth text that comes in right now, JR or Ramsey. I have to give it a couple seconds for the delay, but JR or Ramsey. Text it in right now at 22980.
I do like this, though. I like that it came down to two big heavy hitters. I have anything against Plankton or Mr. Burns.
Dr. Doofenshmirtz. Because he should have been.
These are villains,
you should have made it to the end.
My computer's frozen, Rebecca. What's the fifth text?
It looks like it is...
Gus Fring? Oh, wait.
No. It looks like it is JR.
JR wins!
Yeah.
For best TV villain of all time. And you know what? I might not agree with the result, but I have to respect it.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
JR Ewing.
Yeah. Overwhelmingly, finally. I mean, only two or three people said Ramsey, and we got a flood of people there. All right. Coming up on the Jonathan Weir Show, I don't know, it's Friday. You expect me to put any effort into this? What do you do at work on Friday? You put a lot of effort into what you're doing? Don't judge me. I mean, we definitely have something coming up in five minutes.
You are being judged.
Am I on air?
Yes.
Oh, God.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
That's what you get. So this is, I mean, it is crazy how quickly this has moved. I kind of actually predicted this on air years ago when Colorado legalized marijuana. I said, okay, it's just a matter of time before we see this headline. Law to legalize pot introduced to the United States Senate. Here's what I hate about this, though. The bill is labeled S-420.
Really?
Oh, I get it. 420
Yeah, I get it. It's 420 is like a pothead thing.
Why don't they just call it the Snoop Dogg Law?
Yeah, only like Snoop is like an acronym for like selling
narcotics
offensive only per designated old grandpas. So it's only grandpas who think that it's... Anyway. A law to legalize pot has been introduced into the United States Senate. I don't know whether it's going to pass. I think it is too. I think this is Democrats getting a little bit over their spurs and going, look, huh? Mood of the country's with us. People like this. I think I'm all for it,
but I think it's too soon. I don't think it's going to happen. I would rather see them just reschedule it.
This isn't getting into ideology, but I think politically it's a bad move to do this now for either party to legalize marijuana because you take it away as an issue in 2020. Right? Take it away as an issue. It's going to be an issue. You know in the debates it's going to come up. You know that every candidate, the 50,000 that are now running on the Democratic side, they're going to be asked about it. You know Trump's going to be asked about it. I think that it's a mistake to try to get it legalized now and take away such a big issue, especially if you're Democrats, because I think it's probably something that's going to drive more Democrats to the poll than Republicans. But a supermajority of Americans do support legalization. Over 60% now of Americans don't just support legalizing marijuana for medicinal use, support the legalization fully of marijuana. S-420, aka the Marijuana Revenue and Regulation Act, would create a national framework for states to choose their own paths on marijuana. The bill has four major components. The bill would remove marijuana from the DEA's list of Schedule I drugs. If it does nothing else, it should do that. Second, the bill would impose a federal excise tax on legalized cannabis products. It would be a 25% sales tax eventually. I don't see that happening.
Why?
Because I think the highest any state has is 15. New Jersey, I think, has 15% tax on marijuana. And that's seen as like crazy. Like, why would you tax it that much? 25% just seems crazy.
No, I agree. It's ridiculous. I just, with it being marijuana.
Yeah.
I think people will go, okay, fine.
Yeah. Fourth, the bill would support the states that opt to continue pot prohibition with the federal ban on pot sales and distribution there, which doesn't make any sense. This is the federal government saying, hey, it's legalized in every state across the board, except if you don't want it to be legalized in your state, then it's still federally prohibited in your state. So if they pass this, Kansas can still say, hey, we don't want it legalized here. And the federal government will go, okay, fine, boom. It's still a federal crime to be importing marijuana into the state of Kansas. That
seems silly to me. I mean, I understand if a state says, which states have many, I mean, counties in the South will say no alcohol in this county.
Well, Kansas didn't legalize alcohol until I think the 40s.
Yeah, I mean, so it's not unusual for one state to have a law that says we don't allow that here. Be it tinted windows or, you know, booze or whatever. You know, certain dog breeds, you know, whatever it is. It's all over the country. There are different states that have different rules about that. But for the government to say, well, it's federally legal and else you don't want it to be, and then it's still federally illegal.
It's just confusing.
That's just dumb, yeah.
And the only reason I think they do that is because then they can say, look, we're still leaving it up to the states. We're not taking the power away from
the Jonathan Weir Show.
Tax Line has a great idea. Instead of calling it S-420, call it the Cypress Bill. Yeah.
That is brilliant. Good job, Tax Line. All right, coming up on the Jonathan Weir Show, we're going to play a new game on the show. The game is called Florida or Not. We played Florida, Russia, or Australia, right? This game is just called Florida or Not Florida. I'll give you a bunch of stories, and then you have to guess whether they happened in Florida or not.
Oh, that's tough.
That's going to be in 5 minutes here on 98.1.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
Yeah, it's the thing she said it was. It's true. Don't need no human rights. All right, we're going to play a little game called Florida or Not.
Okay.
Way it works is I'm going to read you a story, and then you have to guess whether
Who's guessing? Me?
You and Rebecca, you want to play? Okay.
Yeah, I'm on.
You have to guess whether it happened in Florida
or not.
So here's the first story. Politician resigns after face-licking scandal.
Wait.
You want me to read the story, or the headline?
Yes. More information.
Okay. Well, I just hope we can all come together and be the quaint little village we used to be, says the mayor of this town, in the wake of an odd political scandal that has become national news. City Commissioner Nancy Oakley tendered her resignation Tuesday, the day before the city commission censured her for publicly licking a former city manager's face. The commission that where this happened, their commission
publicly licked her face.
Their commission on ethics determined that Oakley had violated the state's ethic rules after investigating a complaint filed by former city manager Shane Crawford. The incident dates to a meeting held during a November 2012 fishing tournament in the town of 4500. Oakley admitted to drinking during the tournament. The details are a bit convoluted. But Oakley took issue with the presence of Crawford's executive assistant. So anyway, it was at a fishing tournament, and this woman just couldn't help herself. She licked this guy. Did it happen in Florida or not?
So it was a woman that licked a man in his face.
Indeed.
I'm going to say, yeah, it's probably Florida.
You're going to say it's Florida. Rebecca?
I'm going to say yes as well.
It is indeed Florida! Specifically, this happened in Madeira Beach, Florida. McGreedy had been tasked with the assistant that this mayor or whatever had a problem with, had been tasked with taking the meeting's minutes. Oakley suspected she and Crawford were having an affair. They deny this. And using obscenities, demanded McGreedy be removed from the meeting. Another city employee stepped in to take the minutes. The meeting occurred, and then Oakley approached Crawford and licked him from his Adam's apple up to the side of his face.
Gross.
She then groped him and attempted to punch McGrady, who told her she was being inappropriate. Really? Would you, if you saw a woman grab a man and then lick him from Adam's apple up the side of his face, would you go, you're being a little inappropriate? I think that, oh, wait, no, I actually pretty sure that is off limits. When you got to his earlobe and started sucking on it, that is a clear violation of the ethics rules.
It's like seeing someone set a building on fire and going, you better not.
Did you kill that guy? That's not okay.
That is not cool, dude. Not cool.
Crawford filed the complaint in 2017 when Oakley decided to run for re-election. Oakley maintains the incident never occurred, but says she resigned to end the controversy. Oh, so she's the bigger person, is what she's saying there. She's the big person who ended the controversy.
Wow.
All right, your next story for Florida or not is this one right here. It's coming. Hold on. At this zoo, they will name a cockroach after your ex on Valentine's Day and then feed it to a meerkat.
I like the idea.
Did this happen in Florida or not?
I'm going to say not, because I don't think Florida would be able to contain cockroaches in a zoo.
Having lived there, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to say not as well,
wow, okay.
Because I think it's a good idea, and I don't think Florida typically comes up with ideas like that.
I don't think Florida has good ideas.
Okay, so you don't think it was Florida. Rod doesn't think it was Florida, but the answer is not Florida. It's actually Texas.
Okay, now I'm surprised at that, too.
A zoo in the U.S. state of Texas is celebrating Valentine's Day by inviting visitors to name cockroaches after their ex-partners. In an event called Quit Bugging Me, keepers at El Paso Zoo will feed the insects to hungry meerkats.
Oh, that is clever.
They will also display ex-partners' names around the meerkat enclosure and on social media, so you can watch it get eaten. Sarah Barrigo, the event organizer, said it was fun and a different way to celebrate Valentine's Day. Quote, all of us have exes. This is how I think she said it. All of us have exes. And we're still not over it. And it's a great way to get the community in and also get out a little bit of frustration, Kevin. Okay, the last Kevin isn't in there, so it doesn't say Kevin. The event will be streamed live on Facebook and on the zoo's meerkat webcam. It sparked a lot of excitement on Twitter. People said, I just paid $2 to name a cockroach after my ex. Petty, yes. Do I care? No. Katie on Twitter said, I just named a cockroach after my ex, and on Valentine's Day, it's going to be fed to meerkats. So yeah, you could say I'm actually excited for Valentine's Day. I really want to know who broke up with the zoologist. I mean, maybe Kevin. Maybe Sharon. I don't know. I don't know her preferences or
could be
predilections.
I do think it's funny that obviously a jilted zoologist came up with this idea.
Right. Yeah, I have to imagine. I've always thought this. I think it would be hard to be in a relationship with somebody who is a zoologist or a veterinarian.
Why?
I don't know how to say this, because it's going to sound awkward mm-hmm. either way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's because they would be throwing so much into their work, because it's got to take so much the emotional toll of, you know, if you're a veterinarian, have to put down cats and dogs and stuff all day. That's just got to be horrible. And I'm sure it never gets any easier, and caring about them and, you know, not getting paid as much. And then at the end of the day, I think that the person's with you is like, you know, it would have been nice if you had spent Valentine's Day with me instead of that hamster. You know,
yeah.
I'm not saying that I would feel this way. If I was with a veterinarian, I'd be like, that's so awesome. And no, it's okay. We were going to go on a date, but that poodle needs your love. He needs you more than I do. But I think most people would be like, oh, you're not a real doctor.
Yeah, I wouldn't go there.
No, I'm not saying I would.
I think that could apply to any job.
It's actually more difficult to become a veterinarian.
Oh, I agree. I agree. But I think you're like, why do you care so much about these animals, but you don't care about Darren? Darren needs love, too. What, I need to dress up in a furry costume? Make noises like a chipmunk to get your attention, lady?
I think we just realized how furries were invented.
Maybe just a bunch of spurned veterinarians lovers.
Yeah.
All right, final story on Florida or not is this. A man tried to dance his way out of a DUI. He failed.
Okay.
Did it happen in Florida or not?
I believe it happened in Reno, Nevada.
Reno, Nevada.
And it was on Reno 911.
It might have been.
I'm going to say this one is Florida.
I'm going to guess that it is Florida.
You both are tied, so you could win by disagreeing.
Yeah.
Or just untied.
I said it is Florida first.
No, okay, fine. You know what? Fine. It's not Florida.
Nah, I'm going to give you both points. It is Florida. Oh, yeah. And I don't know if this was the music he was dancing to or not, but it should have been. A man deputy suspected of driving under the influence could not dance his way out of an arrest, but body camera footage. See, people are all like, I don't know if I want the cops having body cameras. People are going to be second guessing everything they do. They didn't think that we'd have this. Body camera footage shows him spinning and bobbing his way through part of his field sobriety test. Pasco County Sheriff deputies saw a vehicle running with its lights on in front of the gate of a closed Holiday business around 1:23 a.m. Tuesday. Inside was Christopher R. Larson, 33, of Trinity, asleep at the wheel with his foot on the brake, according to the affidavit. It took deputies several minutes to wake Larson up and get him out of the vehicle. Then they had to reach inside and put the vehicle in park and shut off the engine to keep it from rolling forward. He told deputies that he thought he was in Clearwater. He was in Miami? Wait, where's Pasco County?
Clearwater in Florida?
Yeah, yeah.
I've been there before.
I have too. And, okay, yeah, it's close to Clearwater. For some reason, I thought this was Miami, so I was confused. Okay. He thought he was in Clearwater, which I guess would make it okay to drive drunk. Because I've been to Clearwater, and I think it's not against the law. At one point in the test, Larson was instructed to walk heel to toe across a piece of tape stretched on the ground. He started walking, but eventually started bouncing as he walked along the line, hopped, and spun around, appearing to dance. So I'm confused. How drunk? I mean, if you're really drunk and you do that, I think you should get the points, right? I think you should be applauded for your ability to stay balanced despite the fact that you are inebriated. Just take some points off his DUI. He didn't hurt anybody. He could have, but he didn't.
Could have hurt himself.
He could have hurt himself, and that who cares? You know? And honestly, again, having been in Florida, while DUIs might be a problem, there's plenty of sober people driving around worse than drunks.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
A lot of them. Look, I'm just saying, I would rather a drunk man in the prime of his life be driving around than a 97-year-old with glaucoma that has crusted his eyes over, not even able to see over the wheel. You just see two knuckles and a hat. I'm just saying.
I've never been to Florida. Isn't most of the state pretty flat?
I mean, that's it's the actually the flattest. Swamp. It's actually the flattest state in the union. A lot of people think Kansas.
I find that hard to believe.
No, it's true.
You've never been to North Dakota.
No, it is flatter than North Dakota.
Okay.
Anyway. But what was your point about being flat?
Just that, you know, if you are driving drunk, then you don't have a hill to pop over. You know what I mean? It's all flat. And you can see pedestrians for days.
Right.
Before you run them over.
Yeah, so just let them get drunk and drive.
It'll
big
be
deal.
Fun. It's Florida.
You're probably just going to hit a mascot who's in, you know, really padded costuming anyway. And if not, it's like, you know.
And that guy's probably just upset because his veterinarian girlfriend won't give him any.
I thought if I dressed like Goofy,
it would
help.
She'd
get Goofy with me. Yeah.
Turns out not so much.
We'll be back in 5 minutes.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
Let's just talk about what you're watching. What are you watching? You watching anything good?
I was just talking to somebody on the text line about this show called Polar.
Polar. It's on Netflix.
Yeah. It's a Netflix movie. It's called Polar.
It's a movie?
Yes.
Okay, I actually want to watch a movie. I don't get me wrong. I love watching TV shows. But
I'm the same way.
I just don't have the emotional energy to invest in a TV show at this point anymore.
Yeah, I just want to. I want an hour and 45 minutes, and that's it.
Yeah.
But have you seen that Bird Box movie?
No, we're not going to watch it.
I haven't.
It
looks terrible. Haven't seen that. That sounds like a piece of crap. So Polar's interesting. It's basically, there's a company of that's hitmen. You know, it's like the company, and they have assassins that work for them.
Sure.
Because, you know, it's a corporate world. And the deal is, when you work there, you can invest in your 401k, as it were. And then on your 50th birthday, you have to retire. Like, nobody works there past 49. So on your 50th birthday, you have to retire, and then you've got your 401k, and the company matches it. But if you were to happen to die right before your 50th birthday, your 401k then goes back to the company.
So the company is going to kill
you. They just keep knocking off people.
Do the people know they're going to be killed?
No. Okay. No, they do not.
Because it seems like...
Not at first.
Right. Are they all going to turn 50 at the same time?
No.
Okay.
No, but basically the one guy turns 50 that is the baddest dude.
What's his name?
The Black Kaiser.
Damn.
And
that's almost like somebody came up with that name and then went, we need to write a movie around that name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
the Black
Kaiser. Yeah, it's very cool. So like they're like, oh, we're just gonna knock him off. And then it does not go well. And then
you gotta come at the Black Kaiser? You better bring an army.
Oh yeah. And it's crazy. I'm a little icky with the ending, but the rest of the movie's badass.
I know I said I'm not watching a TV show, but I'm not watching a scripted or a drama or comedy. I've been watching Adam Ruins Everything on True TV.
Oh yeah,
it's like
I loved those.
It's like Penn and Teller
on YouTube.
Yeah, they're really great on YouTube. And College Humor. Henry actually was like reciting them to me one day, and I was like, are you watching Adam Ruins Everything? He's like, yeah. I was like, we need to watch this together. It's like if you ever watched Penn and Teller's BS.
Yes.
It's like that, only it's family friendly. You can watch it, except for the sex episode. But other than that, it's really good.
The first one I ever saw of his was talking about engagement rings.
Yeah.
And what a scam.
Yeah, he just blows the lid off of like a bunch of commonly
held Jonathan Weir Show
beliefs. And he's very fair. He did one on guns, and he was like, here's the problem with gun control, and here's the problem with our current way of selling guns. And
I just
it was well thought out.
The wife and I are just starting another actual series on Netflix called Russian Doll, and it's like a dark Groundhog's Day. The girl dies, and then she's back, and then she dies, and then it's interesting.
Rebecca, it's coming up on the show.
If your dad were sentenced to prison, would you go visit him? What if he was Bill Cosby? Why hasn't his family visited him? We'll talk about it in 5 minutes.
One last hour of the Jonathan Weir Show for the week. You definitely want to be around for the end of the show tonight because it's Rod's punishment.
Oh, yeah.
And it, you have it, right?
Yeah. Yes. I got it.
Okay. It is going to be amazing. I am so looking forward to this. Rod had the lowest amount of points during the games this week, so he actually is getting punished, which is weird because I don't think anybody's ever lost to Rebecca before. Right?
Right. This is definitely
this is
a first.
And I'm glad that we're saving this punishment for this because this is...
It's epic. This is
be
epic.
Awesome. So, speaking of epic, speaking of awesome, let's take a ride on Rebecca Crockett's Celebrity Riot!
So this is gossip.
Well, that's pretty good.
Blast off!
Hey, Rebecca, what's up?
Oh, come on. It's Friday. Try that one more time.
Up.
All right.
Better?
That's fine.
Okay.
So Woody Allen, he's pretty upset with Amazon right now.
Okay.
They're refusing to distribute.
There you go.
They're refusing to distribute his latest film.
I thought you were going to say, well, he tried to order a mail order bride and he found out that it was just a sting that Jeff Bezos had set up.
Not this time.
Okay. All right. So he's mad at Amazon because they made a picture deal with him.
Yeah.
And then they went, no, we forgot that you're a creep.
Yeah, kind of.
I actually, not that I want to side with a creep, but I kind of see his point.
Because it was so long ago?
No, but they knew what they were getting in bed with. No pun intended. They knew this is Woody Allen. These allegations have been around for over 20 years. He's been married to his adopted stepdaughter for over 20 years now as well. It's not like we haven't known that Woody Allen. It's the same thing. Like if somebody gets into bed with Roman Polanski, everybody, oh, we forgot that he like raped a girl in a hot tub back who was 13 years old back in 1976.
No one forgot that.
Oh, we forgot about that.
Yeah, Woody Allen. I've never understood Woody Allen. I don't get it. I've never watched a Woody Allen film and went, I really enjoyed that.
I've liked some of his movies, but I also get it that people don't.
I don't understand that, you know, like when you watch like the Oscars or whatever and all these actors just go on and on about, whoa, Woody Allen is so great. I'm like, I guess because I never lived in New York. I always figured Woody Allen and bagels. I don't get either one of those things.
It sounds like you're just an anti-Semite. I think that's what it is.
No. I don't think that's
you don't think
it
so? You're not just going to agree with that? I've never lived in New York.
Maybe.
I do like bagels, though, so maybe that's it?
Yeah, I don't like bagels.
They're just boiled bread. I know. Yeah. But I do. I like Lender's onion bagels. They're very tasty. I will say I agree that I think Woody Allen is overblown as a director and is on a much higher pedestal than he should be. And I think the only reason that he's up there is because he puts out a movie like every year. You know, he just is constantly churning out movies. And I think that's what people find impressive. But I can't say that I haven't enjoyed some of his movies. I think Annie Hall is a good movie. Sleeper is a good movie. Mighty Aphrodite is a really good movie.
Okay.
Which he made with Harvey Weinstein, Miramax.
That's weird.
It's weird that those two had no problem teaming up.
Well, now he's suing Amazon for $68 million in damages.
I understand being miffed, but you're not going to get a set. And do you really want to go to a civil trial where you'd have discovery, where they'd be like, well, why did Amazon say that they didn't want to be in cahoots with Woody Allen? And Amazon could be like, well, there is all this reporting about him raping children. So maybe, just maybe, we don't want to have anything to do with him.
All right.
Okay, to be fair, only two children. I mean, he's not like this next guy.
Yeah, on to another winner. So Bill Cosby, he's been in prison for a little while now.
Uh-huh.
And none of his family has come to visit him yet.
Oh. Oh, my God.
Well, Camille's probably a little old to be driving.
Well, I mean, she showed up at a couple of his court appearances.
That's better. I mean,
and she,
so Bill's just sitting there.
Just sitting going, there alone.
Puddin' Pops.
He's in a single cell now for veterans.
Well, that's what they call him.
All right, that's what his name is in prison.
Okay, they're not visiting him because they don't want to see him. I mean,
I'm pretty sure that's it.
That might be the case.
Yeah. Whatever you're about to say next is just a convenient excuse that they're using not to visit him.
All right, so his publicist is saying that Bill does not want his family there and exposed to that situation and the chaos that would come if they showed
Phil,
up.
Phil! I could maybe see that, but I think that's also just Bill Cosby. You just said it's his publicist. That person is literally paid to make the person they're talking about look good. So
yeah, you
shouldn't believe anything a publicist says. Yeah, well, they might. I'm sure he calls the people.
So?
Yeah, he calls people. And I could see him actually not wanting his daughters because of all the filth, flarn, filth that might be in the prison. Having said that, though, I guarantee you his daughters want to have nothing to do with him and are just waiting for him to die so they can collect on his will.
I was going to say, filth in prison? That. I mean, they did go to his house, I'm sure, for holidays, so...
Yeah, it's not like, well, that guy raped three women. Let's go see Dad, who, I mean, he only went to jail for raping one.
Well, they may be Cosby deniers.
Well, they are his children.
They may be sitting around going, don't understand why all these women made this stuff up.
Yeah. Mom said that he didn't do it, so I believe her.
Obviously he didn't do it.
Obviously. And, you know, she's not worried about looking complicit because there's so many women coming out and saying this happened. Anyway, all right.
All right, on to another winner.
Next one.
Let's talk about Louis C.K.
Wow, this is just a lineup of creeps.
This is a Friday. Why are we talking about all these?
Just we don't have to. You want to move on to something better. Else?
You want to talk about another winner?
Okay.
Okay, this guy's not that bad. Robert De Niro. He's having a tough time. He's in the middle of a divorce.
Actually, Robert De Niro is horrible, and people refuse to acknowledge it. No, I'm not going to say that Robert De Niro is as bad as Bill Cosby or Woody Allen or Louis C.K., who I think was the other person you're going to talk about. But Robert De Niro is an anti-vaxxer. Robert De Niro is just as responsible for the anti-vax bullcrap that now has unleashed measles in Washington State and Oregon. He's just as responsible as Melissa McCarthy.
Does he have children?
No, but he's made documentaries about how, he and Robert F. Kennedy went and made a documentary about how vaccines cause autism, and he also offered $100,000 to anybody who could prove that vaccines don't cause autism. Which then a lot of doctors came out, tried to collect, and he's like, I'm not giving you that money. What are you, crazy?
Okay, so anyway, Robert De Niro, he kind of lost his cool the other day on the courthouse steps. Mm-hmm. But he was in court dealing with the divorce of his wife.
You mean from him? No, hey guys, my wife's going through a really bad divorce, okay? Leave me alone.
Okay, it was a stressful day. His driver was supposed to pick him up at a specific spot. He wasn't there.
Okay.
So De Niro kind of freaked out on him, and he was using a flip phone, which I think is the
old grandpa
more serious issue here.
God, how old is he?
I don't know. He's got to be getting up there,
I don't know. He's
right?
One of those guys that's been an old man my whole life.
75. No, he's just looked old your whole life, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, he does have a 7-year-old daughter.
Oh, well, there you go.
A 7-year-old.
Yeah, he'd been married for 20 years and has a 7-year-old daughter.
All right, quick quiz. Who do you think's older, Al Pacino or Robert De Niro?
Robert De Niro.
Yeah, Ron? I think Robert De Niro.
Al Pacino is 78 years old. Robert De Niro is 75.
Whoa. Wow.
Joe Pesci or Robert De Niro?
Joe Pesci.
Robert De Niro?
Joe Pesci is 76. Robert De Niro is 75.
Well, that means they're basically the same age.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, it seems like he'd be older than both. Pacino always kind of like strikes me as a younger guy.
Who?
Pacino. Al Pacino.
Well, I don't know if you've seen him lately. He's looking a little rough. Not. But yeah, I always thought... And maybe it has nothing to do with age, but just like when they, started... I became aware of them. I always thought Robert De Niro had been doing it for a lot longer than Al Pacino.
No, I think they came around the same. In fact, I think Al Pacino was before De Niro because De Niro's big break was in The Godfather Part II. So obviously Pacino was in the first one. Anyway, so he was at divorce court. He comes out. He yells at his driver.
His driver was supposed to be in a specific spot. He wasn't there. He freaked out on him all the cameras were gathering.
I'll defend him on this. I love it when the media says somebody had a public meltdown when all it is somebody being kind of miffed while you shove a camera in their face. So all it was Robert De Niro going, hey, I thought you were supposed to be out here in the front. And then the media's like, look at him having a meltdown. Shove your cameras in his face. And he's like, hey.
Then he was yelling at his driver, yeah, I'm over here where all of the cameras are.
Right. Okay. I love that. That's like when you're a kid and you're picking on your brother. And you're like, oh, I'm not hitting you, I'm not touching you. And then he eventually hits you and you're like, Mom, you hit me! They brought it on themselves is what I'm saying, the media. And then acted like it was a spontaneous thing. It wasn't. Also, I'm not sure if I was Robert De Niro's driver, if I would love to get yelled at by Robert De Niro, or I would hate to get yelled at by Robert De Niro.
Why would you love it?
Because it's Robert De Niro. He's great when he's yelling about stuff. It'd be awesome.
He's very frightening.
Nah.
Yeah, see,
driver. You just drive for somebody else.
And I know he's an actor, and these are movies, but yeah, anytime he was yelling at me, all I would picture is him stomping that face going, you mutt!
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, please don't call me a mutt. Please don't stomp my face.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
All right, coming up on the Jonathan Weir Show, we'll have Max on Movies. He's going to be here to review the Lego Movie Part 2, which is the worst name for that movie I can think of. They called it the Lego Movie, or is it the second part? I can't remember. But
what?
It's a terrible name for the movie. They could have called it like the second piece.
It's a Lego movie.
Yeah.
But okay.
I'm just saying it makes me angry.
It wasn't made for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
No, it
wasn't. Yeah, it was. No, everything's made for me. It's all mine. Anyway, you'll see whether Max thinks it sucks or not. Does it live up to the hype? Is it as good even as the first one? You'll find out in just 5 minutes here on 98.1.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
It's this time every week that we have a little assessment based on podcast listens. What were the top moments of the Jonathan Weir Show for the past week? And it's actually pretty close with what the number two and three ones are. But number one, I don't know if it's obvious to anybody, but it was obvious to me when I started going through it. Where the podcast was peaking the most was on this one. But let's start. We have five of them. Here's number five.
One more round?
Yes, Rebecca.
Are we going to break?
Yeah. Rebecca, five things you cannot buy anymore. Ready, set, go.
I don't know.
Well, there's people.
I can't think of anything.
That's not untrue.
Gosh.
Yeah. Well, there's people.
You can always depend on Rod to come up
to
with
have
the answers.
The best worst answer you can have.
Just saying.
The best answer that is also the most likely to cause a riot on the text line. And what's funny about that is when he said it, then there were a lot of people on the text line saying things like, oh, I guess you haven't heard of white slavery or the sex trade. You can still buy lots of people. Believe me, that's how I spend my Saturday nights.
Yeah, I don't need to know that.
I don't know. How much do people go for these days? So that's what I want to know.
I don't want to know. I think it's funny that when we were kids and you would hear stories, and I know we've talked about this before, you would hear stories about, you could buy a kidney on the black market. Mm-hmm. It was not like the black market was this weird Kmart, you know?
I always thought like of you, it like as it, as a like a dark farmer's market. Like,
oh, okay.
Like, yeah, where there's like, you know, wooden crates filled with kidneys and lungs.
Yeah, well, yeah. I always thought of it as like a weird Kmart, and then like, but instead of a blue light special, they'd have like the black light special and
yeah,
all kinds of weird stuff. But then I found out that it's not an actual place. But now with the dark web, it is an actual place.
All right, this next moment, we were talking about how great Patrick Mahomes is, and I said Paul Rudd, you know, announced him as the MVP, and I felt jealous of Paul Rudd, not for being Paul Rudd, but I was envious of him because he got to meet Patrick Mahomes, which led to this discussion.
This season was special, and there was a lot of people that helped me get to this point. First, I just want to thank God, because without him, none of this would even be here.
All right, this is my favorite moment of the night, and I don't know why.
Next.
It's funny to me, and I'm assuming when I walk outside, a lightning bolt's going to hit me. But I just think it's funny. Like, I want to thank God, and everybody's like, yeah! All right! Way to go, big guy! Way to go, God! Let's give it up for God, everybody!
Do you feel the same way about, man, God's so lucky. Patrick Mahomes, thank him.
A little bit! Like, man... I wish I was God so Patrick Mahomes would thank me in his acceptance speech. Not because I would have infinite power,
but just Patrick Mahomes would thank me in his acceptance speech. It'd be pretty cool, I guess, to be God. I mean, I have to wear sandals all the time, so I guess I'd start shaving my toes or something, but, you know.
Okay.
Hey, Jesus, did you see that Patrick thank me? Yeah, I didn't thank you. Just the big guy. Guess your pops pretty cool. Yeah, guess your pops pretty cool, huh?
sure that's exactly how that went.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to say my God impression is spot on.
No, Rebecca, you sound nothing like George Burns.
Yeah, no, not quite.
What does he sound like? What does he sound like besides Adam Levine?
He does not sound anything like Adam Levine.
Not Sunday night, that's for sure.
Yeah, I have no idea.
You don't know? Can't do a good impression of God? You feel does this violate your religious principles? Am I putting you on the spot? I'm very sorry.
It doesn't violate my religious principles. I just don't do good impressions.
Okay, you know.
Morgan Freeman. Let's just go with Morgan
Freeman.
That is
good, because he did play God in the Bruce Almighty movie.
See, I'm sorry. I still, I guess it's an age thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. God is George Burns.
That's good. Yeah. All right. You know what? I'm just going to skip to the number two moment. And this isn't actually from the podcast, but this was a big moment on our Facebook Live chat that we had Tuesday night. We were off the air for the State of the Union address. And it's great doing Facebook Live because we can be a little freer. We can, you know, talk.
Are you sure you can play this?
We can. I clean it up. But this was because somebody asked us to say F Larry. Can we say F you to Larry? Now, Larry, if you haven't listened to the show for 3 years straight, Larry, it used to be a bit on the show that anytime said the word cancer, we would play this.
Cancer. And my name is Larry.
Right.
And we played it a lot.
A lot. Because I talk about cancer way too much.
I was at a barbecue once.
Yeah.
And there were people near me discussing someone in their family who was sick while I was on this side of the bar fixing my plate. And I heard them say, yeah, it turns out cancer. And I went, my name is Larry. And they looked at me because it was the rudest possible thing I could have said as they're discussing their aunt who has cancer.
Right.
Yeah, my name is Larry.
All right, so this is from Facebook Live.
Can we say a big F you to Larry? F you,
Larry. F you, Larry.
Yeah,
Larry. You're taking too many people that I love That's away from me, Larry.
Way over three.
I'm talking about cancer, lady.
That Larry.
I'm sure you like it, being the mistress of death that you are, but
I Larry. I don't like cancer.
I think you do. I'm not hearing you say fuck Larry.
Thank you, Rachel. It's more of a mustard than a yellow. When is Elvis getting a girlfriend? I don't like cancer.
I think you do. You gotta like it if you're not willing to say fuck Larry.
Fuck Larry.
Fuck you, Larry.
See that on the Jonathan Weir Show Facebook page if you want. I don't like cancer.
It's just us spouting the F word.
Yeah, it's great. And you know what? We've done it, and I was hesitant at first, and our viewers went up after we did that. I thought, we're going to do this. Everybody's going to drop off. No. I just thought there'd be people watching with their kids who might be offended.
No, it was because I had that great yellow sweater
on. That's got to be it. All right, so the number one moment of the week was this. It was from Monday's show where it was revealed whether or not Rod Babcock has diabetes.
Rod suspected that he had diabetes. He went to the doctor, got it tested, then refused to go back to find out the results of his test.
That's what you sound like.
You know why he's cranky?
That's what you sound like.
The blood sugar.
Because he's got the diabetes?
Because he's got the diabetes. So, Rod went to the doctor today. And people on Facebook said we should have done this like a gender reveal party. Like, we give you a box.
Oh, my gosh.
And if it's got an insulin needle in it, that means you have diabetes.
That's terrible.
But if it's got a bag of Skittles in it, that means it's fine.
That's not funny.
I think it's kind of funny. Well, I know why you don't think it's funny. I'm assuming the doctor told you.
I'm
Pre-diabetic?
Pre-diabetic.
Oh, come
Wait, you're pre-diabetic?
On.
You told me you had the diabetes.
I got the diabetes.
Why did you send me a picture of Wilford Brimley?
Because I got the diabetes.
You do not. You're pre-diabetic.
Okay, here's the thing. The doctor said there's a number that is like your betis, okay? And if you have five or more betis, then you're in trouble. I got six betis, so I'm in fear of dying of betis.
What does that mean?
I might die of betis. I've got like...
All right.
Diabetes.
I might diabetes. I'm still not sure whether you have diabetes or not.
Well, I know I now have these big, giant green pills I have to take.
Which I don't understand, because I was diagnosed as pre-diabetic one time. Granted, it was 2 days after I'd eaten an entire Texas sheet cake by myself. And when the doctor looked at my blood sugar levels, I was like, oh, it's probably because I ate that giant Texas sheet cake. And then he looked at me and went, is that normal for you?
That's the funniest part of that story, is the doctor didn't go, oh, okay. He goes, is that... It's like, typical?
Like, is this what you... Because I'm looking at you, and I'm thinking that's probably...
Jonathan Weirshow.
All you eat.
Chess cake.
All right, coming up on the Jonathan Weirshow, he had the lowest amount of points on the week, which means Rod Babcock is going to be punished.
Oh, yeah.
And I cannot wait for this, because Rod is going to love it as much as he hates it. It's coming up in just 5 minutes. Rod Babcock's punishment... Rebecca put this all together. I had nothing to do with it. It was all her idea. I just want to make that clear from the beginning.
I'm sorry. Someone on the text line said, hey, Rod, just remember, diabetes doesn't have to cost you an arm or a leg, just the foot.
Rod's punishment coming up in 5 minutes here at 98.1.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
All right. I got a red car with a blue tail. It is shiny red seats. Time. For Rod Babcock's punishment, he had the lowest amount of points on the games we play every night at 8:38. So it is time for him to receive his punishment, which I have to say was, again, something that Rebecca Crockett came up with before we even knew Rod would lose. And in fact, I was like, it sucks he's playing against you. We're going to have to wait till next week for him to lose against me. And they were like, what if he doesn't lose for weeks and weeks and weeks? We just have this idea. Shit. We'll have this idea sitting on the shelf.
Wow.
I know. I can't believe I did that. It was an honest mistake. I don't think I've ever just dropped the S-bomb for no reason. Anyway, time to get to Rod Babcock's punishment. Rebecca, give him the box.
No, your mic is not on.
All right.
Oh, wait, this mic.
I have something very important to give you.
Okay.
All right.
You got to open this up.
You are going to love it. By the way, we're on Facebook Live right now. If you follow the Jonathan Weir Show on Facebook, you can go there and watch this live. Rod opening a present that Rebecca got him.
I know it's in an iPhone case, but it's not an iPhone.
No way.
What Rebecca got him was...
No way.
The Odd Rod Hot Wheel toy that he talked about, I think, a week and a half ago. We were talking about the Hot Wheels movie.
Dude, this is too cool.
And he was like, I had this Odd Rod thing and it was great, but I lost it, but it was my favorite.
This is it. This is
so
the one.
You might be like, wait, why is a present my punishment? Here's why it's your punishment. You now have to sit there and tell us why you love us so much for getting you this.
Okay, I don't want
for it. No. No. No, we got 2 minutes.
God, you got to share your feelings.
You got to share your tender feelings. See, this is why it's the greatest punishment ever.
I don't
ever.
Have tender
you
feelings.
You have to share your feelings on air about what great friends we are and how much we mean to
wait,
you.
Wait, what are you talking about? We. This. I'm the one who found the Odd Rod.
Yeah, but I'm the one who had the idea of giving it to him as a punishment. So.
That is true.
As a punishment. You guys are rotten. Dude, this is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is so cool. Like, this is...
Yeah, you're not talking about us. I don't understand. We don't care about the present. We want to hear about how we're great.
This is literally, like, my 10-year-old self right here.
Mm-hmm.
That is so cool. You have no idea what this means to me. And it really sucks that it came from YouTube.
No, that like, doesn't count. This ain't punishment.
Awful.
That come on.
Awful. You guys are really nice, and I really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anybody else that would go out of their way to find me the Odd Rod actual Hot Wheels toy that...
Oh, it's more than that, by the way, because when it was shipped to Rebecca, it only had 3 wheels.
Yeah, it was missing a wheel.
So she actually found another Hot Wheels wheel.
Uh-huh, I had to find another 1970s Hot Wheel vehicle and reconstruct it.
Okay, see, now I'm just pissed.
You
sharing your feelings?
I think he's going to cry.
I don't have feelings.
He's going to cry.
I don't want to talk about
it. Yeah.
This is very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate it. The two of you are really nice. And I'm glad that you did this for me.
Mm-hmm.
This, I don't think you understand. This really, really means a lot to me.
Oh, we understand.
And
do you love us?
No.
Do you love us, Rod?
Do you need a hug right now, Rod?
Do you want a hug? Give him a hug.
Don't you
give
dare.
Him a hug.
Don't you come over here. Don't you.
Oh.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
On that note, we're going to end the Jonathan Weir Show for this week. Happy birthday, Bill. I have horses to feed. I love you too, Rod.
I love you guys.
Love you too, Rod.
Take this, bitch.